All right, so we're going to get started because I know how tight everybody's schedule is. Like we always used to say at the 8 o'clock minion at my previous Jewish center, and sometimes the 8 o'clock minion in Manhattan. And the Gabbai used to like to say, even if we don't start on time, we will end on time. So you know, he always would say that. At the Jewish Center, Tinek, where I'm in charge, we always start on time. They're going to get the wrong idea. So I wanted to introduce a new perspective about the Teva. Primarily the Teva is used to save Noach and his family and the animals. That's the way we think about it. We think about it as this ingenious architecture, no pun intended, which is meant to withstand incredibly powerful rains, and it does. And you have a lot of very fascinating details that are included in the Torah about, you know, how the boat was supposed to be shaped. I'll just give you a few very quickly in the interest of time. Okay, the roof wasn't flat. It was sort of angled like this so that the rains, when they came pounding down, it deflected the rainwaters off to the side. This is just basic physics. As opposed to letting the water crash through the roof. That was one example of a detail of the Teva. Or, for example, that Noach is told to insulate it both on the inside and on the outside with tar. That tar is meant to protect it against the rain. So that's another way that the architecture of the Teva was meant to protect the people who were inside. And even the type of wood which was chosen, I'm not an expert in lumber by any stretch of the imagination, but what the commentaries all point out about the type of lumber that was chosen, again, it was lumber that would be very effective for trying to save yourself from a deluge. And that's one level of detail of architecture within the Teva. But there's other things about the Teva that should raise a question, or at least should serve as a springboard for us to, I think, look at the Teva as something much more than a boat of salvation. Let me just give you two details, and possibly a third, which don't immediately seem to have anything to do with saving people from water. So the first detail, which I think is very striking, is that Noach is told to make three levels within the Teva. It says make a bottom level, a middle level, and a top level. Of course, this isn't necessary to keep people alive. I mean, all you'd have to do to keep people alive is to have one level within the Teva. There's nothing about that from an engineering point of view that was absolutely necessary. So why do you need these three levels? That's point number one. Point number two is the Torah specifies that there are supposed to be like these kinds of separate areas within the Teva called kinim, which are often translated as stalls. In other words, that the specific animals have to be kept, specific species of animals have to be kept within their own area. So, for example, the lion stall or the tiger stall or whatever it was. But you know, it's a little hard to figure out exactly what that's necessary for. You could have all the animals within a general area, and, you know, let's say it wasn't a miraculous event, so the lion would still eat the goat. It's not like in the zoo they're going to say, oh, well, the lion was in his stall. We have no idea why the lion ate the cow. Like, it's not really going to help from that point of view, so what exactly is the message there? Okay, so to appreciate, I think, all these other details about the Teva, what I'd like to try to suggest is that you have to go back to Parshas Bereishis, to some of the most beautiful psukim in the Torah. We know that when Adam meets his wife, she's not yet called Chava. She's the first person in the Torah to undergo a name change. First she's called Isha, then she's called Chava. People miss that point. They think that Avram was the first person that happened to. He wasn't the first. The first person that happened to was Chava. First she's just called the Isha. So we're told that when he meets his wife, so to speak, he has an incredible moment of realization. Zos hapam, he says, this is the time. Etzem me'atzamai, she comes from my very own bone. Uvasar mi bisari, he recognizes that she was actually taken from his body, from his person. Lizos ikarei isha, I will call her isha, ki me'ish lukacha zos, because she comes from me. And then he says something absolutely beautiful. Alken yazov ishes aviv esimo, and therefore when the appropriate time comes in a man's life, he should leave his mother and father. No, not to abandon his mother and father. I actually spoke about this at my wedding. You're not supposed to say the mitzvah of kibud avim doesn't apply anymore, God forbid. Kibud avim is a very important mitzvah, which continues to apply. But vidavak biishto, he forms a unique kind of relationship with his wife. So the Mephoshim all you know, try to interpret what exactly this pasuk is. What did Adam have in mind when he spoke about this? So Rashi notes that what Adam primarily had in mind was the fact that he intuited that he would be able to procreate with Chava. The Hayula Basar Achad means that they would be able to have children together, so they would literally come together in one flesh in the form of a new human being, so that you could look at that new organism and say, okay, this is the combined Basar, or as we would say today, the combined genetic information of a mother and father. That's Rashi's interpretation. Rashbam says something really exquisite. He says, what Adam realized, remarkably, Zos HaPam, this is the time, this is the only time in human history that a woman will emerge from a man. For the rest of human history, all men will come from women. And he understood that he was an anomaly. That,
that's a great line.
That is good.
Isn't that Rashbam?
Is,
that
is going down as well.
Right. As I tell my seniors, you know, if you're looking for a yearbook quote, you know, you may want to consider that Rashbam. Absolutely fascinating. But I still maintain that it's not as good as the Ramban. So what the Ramban says, and I recognize that I'm biased. You know, there's a reason my shirim always come back to the Ramban. He's my guy. So the Ramban says what Adam really meant when he said vidzavak biishto is that he realized in a much deeper way than he'd ever had before that he was different than the animals. That when you talk about animal reproduction, so there's no relationship there. Is that males and females instinctually find each other and they're able to reproduce to pass on the genetic information of that the species, and that's the way that animals are programmed. But when he said vidavak bishto vayula basar achad, he didn't mean the way that Rashi said, we're going to have children together, and that will be the basar achad, but we will form, and the Ramban actually describes husband and wife literally hugging each other, vayula basar achad, that they would be in an intimate relationship well beyond their reproductive partnership. And that was the ideal. And of course, what happens over the course of Sefer Bereishis, and in particular Parshas Bereishis, is that that ideal becomes degraded. So, for example, at the very end of the Parsha, it says that God feels that he made a mistake. The whole idea of promoting humanity above the rest of the cosmos, God says, "Nichamti ki asisim vayisatzev alibo." God is disappointed. He feels that he made a mistake. Now, the question is why? So if you look at the immediately preceding psukim, you'll find the answer. It says that all of a sudden human beings, vayiru b'nei halohim, which means powerful people, people with money, people with power, vayiru b'nei halohim es b'nos adam ki tavos hena, they saw beautiful women that they had a lust for, vayikhu lahem nashim, they would just grab these women, mikol asher bacharu. And as Rashi comments and everybody comments about this, whether they were married, they weren't married, in other words, they took this ideal that Adam had of an actual relationship with a person and totally degraded it. And they said, oh, we don't have to have relationships with people that we're going to have intimate activity with. We can be just like the animals. So God says, well, if you're going to be like the animals, I regret the entire project. I didn't create the world for animals. I created the world for people. Ki nichamti ki asisim. That's really the structure of what Parshas Bereishis is about. And that's what the Torah means. The words are so precise. Lo yadon ruchi ba'adam le'olam. I will no longer give my spirit over to man. Bishagam hu vasar. He's acting just as if he's flesh, as if he's an animal. He's disregarding and completely degrading the tzelem Elokim that I endowed him with. Okay, so then what happens? V'noach matzachein b'nei Hashem. Noach is the one person who retains this humanity. That's why he's described as not just tzaddik tamim, Noach ish tzaddik tamim b'dor osav. He retains his humanity. He's different than the rest of society, which has degraded into a kind of an animalistic way of life. Now we can go back to the Teva and appreciate, yes, there are really what we would call in Brisker learning, we would say there are two dinim in the Teva. There are two things that are going on at the same time. At one level, of course, the Teva is a boat meant to save lives. But as I mentioned before, that doesn't account for all the details. So to go back to that detail that I mentioned before, what's it with those levels? The bottom level, the intermediate level, and then the top level. So Rashi explains that the top level is for the human beings, the middle level is for the animals, the bottom level is for the garbage. So what is this? It's like, okay, this is the floor plan? No. The Teva was meant to refashion the world. It wasn't just a boat to save people, but it was a perfectly structured vessel to say the world as originally intended. So with humanity above animals, not meant to be mixed in with animals, and even amongst the animals themselves, we talked about the animals having different areas. The idea is that different species have their own integrity, and all of the Midrashim discuss in the years leading up to the Mabul that the animals themselves, ki hishchis kol basaris der kol aretz, Rashi famously quotes in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that even the animals were degrading their own boundaries of species. You had one type of animal that was cohabiting with another animal. So the stalls are not meant, you know, as a form of protection. The lion can escape from his stall and, you know, and eat the goat if he wants to. The stalls are meant to reinforce that the way that God created the world is even within the animal kingdom, there are meant to be differences within species. So the teva isn't just a way of saving people and getting them through the mabul. The teva is actually an ideal world. It's a world as it was meant to be, and it's a self-contained universe in that way. There's one comment that Rashi has that I think really so beautifully expresses this idea. We know that the floods were for 40 days and 40 nights. So Rashi says 40 days and 40 nights, that's the same amount of time that in Jewish law, in the halachic tradition, we assume that a single cell organism goes to being something that we would describe as a fetus at 40 days. It's what we call Yetziras Havlad. So this is obviously can be a very tragic situation if there's a miscarriage prior to 40 days. We don't consider that halachically to be the loss of a life, obviously emotionally terrible, terrible tragedy, not to minimize it, but the 40-day point is the critical time point in halacha when you start to have to speak about, you know, dealing with halachos of abortions. It's Yetziras Havlad is 40 days. So what does Rashi mean when he connects the 40-day period point in time with the Mabul? Again, the idea is that the world is being recreated, and the Teva itself is, so to speak, the fetus that's developing. It will be the germ, it will be the seed from which the rest of the world is actually regenerated. So the rules of the Teva, with human beings on top, with animals below them, and then with garbage below that, and different species having their own integrity, that Teva, which is the Vlad, which is being formed, when it opens up, as it does open up, and Noach and his family emerge from the Teva, the idea is they're supposed to take the world of the Teva and to export it outwards, not the world that had been destroyed behind. So the Teva has that dual function to it, again, to save the people who are inside, but even more importantly, to serve as a kind of an ideal or optimal universe, which serves as the paradigm or the template for the world that will exist after the Mabul. And this distinction between humans and animals, which is such an important feature of the Teva, why the animals were suspended beneath the people in that middle level and the people are on top, if you think about what happens in the immediate aftermath of the Mabul, this is precisely the point. The first thing that Noach does is he takes animals and he kills them as korbanos. He doesn't kill them wantonly, but again, man demonstrating that animals are there as a way for him to relate to God, and animal life is not the same as human life, which is, of course, accentuated by korbanos. Point number one. Point number two is that unlike at the beginning of the creative process, when human beings were not permitted to consume animals, all of a sudden, after the Mabul, God says, you know what, humans can eat animals. Now, why should that be the case? There's all kinds of different opinions about it, but I think the simplest way of explaining why it is that human beings should be allowed to eat animals is God realized, so to speak, that in the original, in the 1.0 version of creation, that boundary between human and animals was a little too blurry. And what was needed was really to reinforce that boundary by saying that you have the kind of dominion over animals that expresses itself in license even to kill animals for the sake of eating them, if that's what's necessary to make sure that humans understand that they can't engage in animalistic behavior, that they're not the same as animals, bishagam hu basar, that they can't fall into that pattern, then God would be willing to make that concession. Again, that concession to make sure that people understood that that which was expected of them was a much higher degree of expectation over the rest of the animal kingdom. So in that sense, the Teva and the world after the Teva is meant to be a corrective for all of the things that that go wrong in Parshas Bereishis, and in particular, humanity losing sight of its unique station, the fact that human beings have to recognize that even if it's true that there is a flesh component to them, we do have a basar component to them, the dominant feature to all of us has to be the nefesh or the neshama, what we call that tzelem Elokim within all of us, and that's exactly what had been lost sight of through Parshas Bereishis, and the Teva serves as a corrective to that pathology. Okay, so hold it up there. As I said, we didn't start on time, finish on time.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
I like that about the...